And Liguori is talking golf on Sunday morning with you, right here on The Fan.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. Hope you're well, staying safe, staying active. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. This year's Travelers Championship is a TV-only event. You can catch all the action June 25th through the 28th on the Golf Channel and CBS. Learn more at TravelersChampionship.com. And my appreciation to Travelers, who is the sponsor of Talking Golf, which runs for 13 weeks. I have two more shows to go for this season. After this morning show, we'll continue to have a good time for these next three shows. Talk a little golf with our usual eclectic mix of guests. And this morning is no exception, as we will catch up with the one and only Alice Cooper, the king of shock rock. He is addicted to golf. He really is. He's a four handicapper. He plays every day. Quite the Renaissance man. He's a singer, songwriter, a radio host, fundraiser with the Solid Rock Foundation, and a huge golfer. I've had the pleasure of playing a few rounds of golf with Alice through the years. He's really a lot of fun to play golf with. And, he's very unlike his onstage persona when you get to know him. So we'll hear from Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, diehard golfer, Alice Cooper, in a few minutes. And then at about 7:40 this morning, we'll catch up with PGA Tour and Champions Tour winner Billy Andrade to hear his thoughts on the PGA Tour resuming, the Charles Schwab Challenge, the first tournament back on the PGA Tour in 3 months, and everything that Billy Andrade is up to. And wanted to let everybody know that I host a charity golf tournament every year, which raises money for cancer research. And this year's event is at Maidstone in East Hampton. And it was originally scheduled for June 25th, but we have moved it to October 8th. So, the weather in the fall is always beautiful in New York. We're counting on a beautiful day, and you can learn more about the tournament at annliguori.com. All right, there's live professional golf to watch on TV. Yes, the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial in Fort Worth, Texas. And there have not been any spectators there. There won't be any spectators for the next four tournaments after this on the schedule, but it looks like things are going pretty well. Players were tested before they even left their homes. Once they got to Fort Worth, they were tested again. And every day before they enter the premises at Colonial, they get a thermal reading. And they're encouraged to sanitize their hands after every hole. Caddies are encouraged to disinfect the clubs. The field was expanded from 120 players to 148 to give more guys an opportunity to play. And no players or caddies tested positive for the coronavirus, according to PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan. And they conducted 487 tests. So that was for the players, for caddies, and all the personnel on the ground. So that's good news. Colonial, long, rich history, dates back to 1946. Ben Hogan was a longtime resident of Fort Worth. There's a statue of him at Colonial, Hogan's Alley. Remember Annika Sorumstam, as you, back in, 2003? She was the first woman since Babe Zaharias to play with the guys on the PGA Tour, and that was at Colonial. Well, this week, the PGA Tour has instituted a moment of silence every morning at 8:46, a reminder of efforts to end racism and social injustices. And the leaderboard heading into this afternoon's final round, just jam-packed. 14 players are within three shots of the lead. Xander Schauffele, he broke from a group of six guys tied for the lead at 12-under when he drained a 12-footer for birdie on the final hole to grab the sole lead at 13-under. He had six birdies in all, shot a 4-under 66. So he leads five guys by one shot. You remember Xander. He's four PGA Tour victories so far. Three top 10 finishes this season. So he's looked very sharp. He's a mellow guy. So not having any fans on the course doesn't really faze him at all. He said it was like playing with his buddies at home. Let's hear a little bit more from Xander.
I played a lot at home. You know, I played a lot with Charlie Hoffman, Phil Mickelson, and a bunch of other really good pros and good amateurs back home. And it sort of, I guess, knocked off the bit of rust that was there during quarantine. And yeah, I think that I'd have to attribute it to that. It's really quiet out here. You know, you feel like you get some momentum and you make a few birdies and it's still quiet. So sort of kind of just go with the flow.
So Gary Woodland, the defending U.S. Open champion, he birdied the last two holes to shoot a 66, and at 11 under, he is one shot back. Schauffele and Gary Woodland, they will be the final pairing this afternoon at 2:10 on CBS. Brandon Grace of South Africa shot a 66 as well. He finds himself just one shot behind. Colin Morikawa carded a 3-under 67 with some late birdies. He's also a 12-under with Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, just one shot back. Jordan Spieth was leading at 13-under, playing a great front nine. But then he hit a terrible wedge shot on the 15th, missing the green completely from about 80 yards out. He made a bogey there, ends up shooting a 2-under, and dropped down one. Home state favorite, Jordan Spieth. He has not won since his British Open title in 2017, but he says he feels he's very close. He won the Masters and the U.S. Open in 2015, as you remember, second that year as well, the PGA Championship, and then wins the British Open, and this year dropped out of the top 50 in the world ranking. So Spieth has looked pretty good this week. Yesterday or Friday, he missed a number of two-footers. And yesterday, late in the round, he had trouble with his wedges. So we'll see which Jordan Spieth shows up today. Justin Thomas shot a 4-under yesterday and joins the bunch, one shot out of the lead. JT says it was a weird day.
Kind of a weird day. I definitely didn't have my best stuff. I felt I drove the ball a lot better than probably my stat showed in terms of fairways hit. Hit a lot of really good drives that just kind of bounced in the first cut or just bounced through.
And Harold Varner III had a share of the lead after the first round. He had the outright lead after the second round, fighting back in the second round after a triple bogey on the very first hole. And then yesterday, he birdies the first hole, and that was it. But he did hit 14 of 14 fairways, 13 of 18 greens in regulation, but his putter just was not hot. He settled for an even par 70, so he's two shots back at 11 under with Daniel Berger. And, you know, Varner is one of three black guys on the PGA Tour, and he had a very open and honest conversation with PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan last week about racial injustice, and the statement that Varner wrote came from the heart. You can Google it if you get a chance, but then last Thursday, he said golf is his platform, but he's trying to focus on playing well so he can win his first PGA Tour title. And after his round yesterday, he said he feels he's even more and more capable of getting it done. He's just excited about having a chance. And you've got Patrick Reed, who had the round of the day yesterday at 7-under. Justin Rose, Bryson DeChambeau, all at 10-under. So all within striking distance, just three shots back. DeChambeau bulked up to the tune of adding 20 pounds in the last 3 months. He's crushing his tee shots over 345 yards. But yesterday, he could not make a putt. He shot an even par 70. Rory McIlroy, he's 1-under, said he just couldn't get anything going out there yesterday. At 10-under, he joins five others, only three shots back. So anything can happen this afternoon. Who you picking? Well, I think the winner could be either Xander Schauffele, who seems just unflappable. Wouldn't it be great for Jordan Spieth to control his nerves and get back in the winner's circle? Then you got Patrick Reed, who shot a 7-under yesterday. I mean, he is so hot coming into this final round. So, should be fun. CBS Sports coverage starting at 3 p.m., and when will we see Tiger Woods? We don't know. I mean, his yacht Privacy traveled up the eastern seaboard, landing near Georgia, St. Simons Island, apparently, which is a few hours south of Hilton Head. So there was a lot of speculation that Tiger would be playing next week at the RBC Heritage in Hilton Head. But that wasn't the case. He did not commit by the Friday deadline. So will he be playing in the Travelers or will he wait until the Memorial, which Tiger's won a lot. The last time I think he won was in 2012. And the Memorial is July 16th through the 19th. And by the way, the first PGA Tour event to have spectators. So the question is still out there. When will we see Tiger? All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and have a conversation with the king of shock rock who happens to be addicted to golf, Alice Cooper. We'll be right back.
This year's Travelers Championship is a TV-only event. We'll miss the fans, but you can catch all the action June 25th through the 28th on the Golf Channel and CBS. Featuring eight of the top 10 players in the world, including Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, and three-time champion Bubba Watson. The tournament has generated nearly $20 million for local charities, and this year's support will include COVID-19 relief efforts. Interested in contributing to tournament charities? Learn more at TravelersChampionship.com.
It's Sunday morning and you're talking golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Alice Cooper, the king of shock rock, Hall of Famer, singer, songwriter, actor, and passionate golfer. An absolute legend in the music business and a good friend for a long time. Welcome to Talking Golf, Alice Cooper.
Ann, are you playing a lot? Are you playing during this pandemic?
You know, I have been. Our course in Florida has been opened the whole time with a lot of restrictions. And then in New York, I played a little bit. I'm going back and forth. But how are you doing? Are you playing at all?
I'm in Arizona where it's golf heaven here. You know, even at the very beginning of the pandemic, they left the golf courses open because they said, well, you're outside and you're not in a crowd, so leave the golf courses open. So I was very happy about that. We were in Germany doing shows, and the next thing you know, we did Berlin, and they said, okay, 48 hours from now, we're closing the borders, so get home. And, you know, I think we canceled 130 cities, you know, between the Alice Cooper show and the Hollywood Vampires. You know, I mean, there was a lot of shows booked, but you know, they're just postponed. We'll end up doing them again, you know.
Well, you and I go way back, Alice Cooper. I mean, I enjoyed the golf we have played together. You, Shep Gordon, your manager, and me. I think one of those rounds was at Congressional. I remember that one. I don't know if you remember it. It was
yeah.
a long time ago.
Then
we taped that Golf Channel, that Conversations with Ann Liguori show at, I think it was Legends Trail in Scottsdale.
Yes. And we were it was very funny because when we were talking, we had a shot. I think I was about 80 yards off the green and I had to make a little chip shot. You said, go ahead and hit it. And I knocked it in.
I know.
We got it on film. So.
Yeah, we really did. It was perfect timing. And well, you know, you're a performer, so you know how to get hot when the cameras are on. But you've been playing a lot of golf. Go ahead.
I play every single morning. You know, in Arizona, I'm up at, in fact, I have a round tomorrow at 5:20 in the morning.
Oh, my.
So because it's 110, you know, I mean, it's really getting hot. And I like playing in the morning anyways. I like to get out in front of everybody because it's a difference between a five-hour round and a two-and-a-half-hour round, you know. But
sure.
There's 200 courses in Phoenix. And so, you know, it's actually, without golf, I don't know, I'd be sitting around binging on everything on Netflix all day. So I feel like I'm doing my duty, playing golf in the morning, and then watching TV all day.
What a life.
I'm doing my civic duty, yeah.
Well, no, you're right about, I love desert golf. Scottsdale has some great golf courses. I love Greyhawk. I love Desert Mountain. I mean, there are just so many great courses there. And, you know, when we did that show, Alice, I remember you were very, very honest. And I remember you telling me years ago that the day you got out of rehab, you played 36 holes of golf and haven't stopped.
That's right. I you know, 37 years ago. I stopped drinking, stopped taking drugs, stopped doing all that stuff. And I had to find an addiction that wasn't going to kill me. And because all my other addictions were killing me. And it also, you know, Cheryl and I have been married now 44 years, going on 45. And she went through that with me. Of course, I was a happy drunk. I was never an angry drunk. I was never a morbid drunk. I was always kind of Dean Martin, you know, when it came to that. So nobody really saw the problem except my all of my organs were starting to fail. And so I quit, and I said, well, I was a good baseball player, so golf shouldn't be that hard. I mean, I could hit a 80-mile-an-hour fastball. I should be able to hit a ball that's not moving. Well, that's what everybody thinks until they start playing golf. And then I took a year off, and I played every day, 18 in the morning, 18 in the afternoon, with a pro. And so by the end of that year, I was a 9 handicap.
So what's your handicap these days?
Oh, I'm playing right around 4. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good for you. Yeah. Do you find yourself improving, mentally, and as you get older, are you losing any distance off the tee? What's your game? Is it getting better, or do you see are you losing a little distance?
This is really funny because I am at 72. I never thought I'd be in 2 touring bands. You know, at 72, you start thinking, well, you know, let's start backing it off a little bit. I'm doing 190 shows a year now between my band and the band with Johnny Depp and Joe Perry, with the and recording at the same time, and doing the radio show, and doing solid rock, and, you know, I mean, all of that stuff all together. And I'm in better shape now than I've ever been. So
that's awesome. I'm
hitting the ball further now than I've ever hit it.
Right. Well, because you watch what you eat. You're probably you're exercising every day, right? You got rid of all the bad stuff. So it's good to hear that you're in the best shape of your life. I love it.
Yeah, it's really amazing. It doesn't, you know, when people say, well, when are you going to retire? And I go, why would I retire so I could play golf? I play golf anyways. When I'm on tour, Callaway sets up our golf, whatever city we're in, you know. And so, like, I'll be in St. Louis one morning, and we play 9 holes. My guitar player and my bass player both play. And then we do the show that night, and we take our tour buses to the next city, which is Louisville. We get in at 5 o'clock, have breakfast, and we're on the tee at 6:30, play 9 holes, do the show. So, I mean, I don't ever miss any golf. I just, you know, I just do it in the morning and the show at night.
I love it. And you're still with Callaway. You're still with Callaway Golf. I remember that commercial you did for them. In fact, that's how we met, come to think of it. A long time ago, Bruce Parker, who used to be with Callaway, I said, I'd like to interview Alice Cooper. He put us together immediately on one phone call. We organized the TV shoot, and there, voila, we did the show. But you were with Callaway way back when.
Oh, yeah. We've been Callaway. I've been with him 27, almost 30 years now.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, you know, the way I got the gig was I was playing golf, and I went up with, to Ely at a party, and I said, Ely, hit the ball Alice. I'm Alice. And he goes, oh, I love that. That's great, man. That's really a cool idea. And the next thing I do, I did 12 commercials with them, and he was cool enough. We would do the commercial, and then he would say, now, what would you do in this commercial? And I would write a different commercial. We almost always used my commercial. It had a funnier punchline than the other ones, you know. And so he allowed me to really contribute to I told him, I said, if you want to sell your clubs to everybody, because at that time, people equated Callaway with Rolex, Mercedes-Benz, my boss plays Callaway. He says, how do I get to middle America? I said, you have to have fun with your product then. Make fun of your product. And that's what we started doing. We started having fun, you know, making fun of, you know, me and Johnny Miller together on a golf course. Well, that's, you know, a pair you're never going to see. It was King of Shock Rock and Johnny Miller, the Mormon, you know, playing golf together. I said, that's funny. Just that is funny. And then we started writing funny little lines, and it worked. The stock went from 6 to 30, you know.
Wow. I love Ely Callaway. Boy, he gave you artistic license. How great is that? Well, Alice, you've been performing.
You got to tell me something. You got to tell me something, Ann, okay?
Yes, yes.
Ely loved pretty girls, okay? And that was not a secret. In fact, when he was on his deathbed, I called him and I said, I will bet you right now there are three beautiful nurses around you. And he goes, four. So he probably
like
came
him.
On to you, and he probably came on to you at one point.
You're so funny. No, he was very, he did not cross the line with me. Now, you know, Bruce, our buddy, you know, that was a different story, but.
Well, Bruce, you know, Bruce was more of a rock star than anybody I've ever met. He used to wear my band out.
Because
he would party with them more than any rock star. He would say, okay, we're going to go to Vegas on the day off on our jet. And I'd go, could you bring them back before the show? And they would come back and they would go, unbelievable. He just wore us out.
Oh my goodness, Bruce. You know, I told him I wanted to interview Celine Dion too, because I know she did a commercial for Callaway, and within 5 minutes he had me on the phone with Celine Dion and her manager husband Renee, and that shoot was organized in literally five minutes.
He was the best salesman on the planet. I mean, the guy was the best salesman. And he could sell anything to anybody. Great guy. We really miss him. Yeah.
We really do miss him. But, you know, you're talking about, you know, playing golf all these years and performing for decades, really 50-some years, even more. What's the secret, Alice, to your longevity and your consistency, do you think?
You know, it's just like golf. I never get tired of golf. I get up in the morning and I don't know, you know, every shot is different. You know, and I never get tired of the game. I never got tired of rock and roll. I never got tired of the excitement of rock and roll. I think some people get older and they start listening to jazz and they start listening to classical and all this. Go and see Pete Townsend from The Who. He's 74, okay. 75. When he's on stage, his knuckles are still bleeding from hitting the guitar so hard. I tell every young band, do you want to see the heart and soul of rock and roll? Go see Pete Townsend. He is still angry up there. He's an angry rock and roller, and that's what makes him so great.
And you still have a passion for music, as you have, you know, a similar passion for golf. And what do you think you bring from your musical career to golf?
Well, you know, if anything, you know, the trick to golf is rhythm. You know, I mean, when you get on a golf course and you're playing with three good players, I watch their rhythm. I don't watch their swing. I don't watch anything. I watch their rhythm. And I go, okay, this guy's rhythm is really good. Or I can go, I'm going to bet with that guy because I've seen three different swings today. You know, I know that guy's rhythm is off. Johnny Miller was my teacher, you know, so he taught me a lot about hitting fairways and about hitting greens. And that's the whole game.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't matter if you hit it 350 yards or if you hit it 240. The guy that is hitting at 350 is usually in trouble. The guy that is hitting 240 is down the middle. And I want to be the guy down the middle.
Which you always are. Consistency and longevity. I love it. Well, what pros do you enjoy playing with? Billy Andrade, by the way, says hello. He's on the show this morning as well. And he said he played with you at the Bob Hope Classic.
Oh, yeah, no, he's doing great on the seniors right now. He's playing great out there. I watch the seniors on TV all the time, and I see his name up there in the top 10 all the time. We used to go to a great sushi bar there in Palm Springs. Every time I would play the Bob Hope or the Sinatra even, you know, Andrade was there. That was sort of like a running date, is going to this one sushi bar, you know. And, he's really a great guy. But, you know, the guys, I got to play with everybody. You know, I was very lucky to get to play with, I got with Garcia a lot. So I played with Garcia a lot, and I played with, all those guys from that era.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, now I go down, if I go down to one of the tournaments and I walk, if I walk down the hitting area, I used to be able to stop at every single stall and talk with everybody because I knew them all. Now I know maybe 10%.
Really? Yeah.
I don't know who any of these guys are, you know.
A lot of young blood out there. You know, you're so different, Alice, than your onstage persona. And, you know, through the years, people have asked me, what is Alice Cooper really like? And it's when I get asked that, I always say, well, let's see. He's been married to the same woman all these years, Cheryl, who we love. He's the born again. His father was an evangelist. I keep telling people, Alice is so different than, you know, the guillotines and the snakes and all the blood that he used to use on stage. And, you know, so different from your onstage persona. I love telling people what you're really like.
Well, you know, I mean, part of the trick at the beginning was to make everybody think that that character on stage was the character off stage, you know, and then I got to the point of realizing that that was really painting yourself into a corner. And I told this to Marilyn Manson. I told this to everybody that has sort of that dark image on stage. I said, if you're going to be this character all the time, understand that you're going to get stuck there. So. Mm-hmm. There was a point when the whole world was terrified by Alice Cooper, and then all of a sudden, you saw Alice Cooper on Johnny Carson as talking host on the DS, and it was making people laugh. You know, it was making Johnny laugh, and that was designed in order to let people know that I wasn't just that character. I wasn't just that character. But one of my best friends was Groucho Marx, you know, and. So I didn't just hang out with the rock and roll guys. I was hanging out with Jack Benny and George Burns and, you know, all those characters that I always wanted to meet. And they were the coolest guys. So it opened up my character so much. Now people could digest it a little more. You know, they see me in a movie playing somebody else, not Alice Cooper. And they finally started realizing that I play the character Alice Cooper. I'm not the character Alice Cooper.
Right, exactly. You're so different from that character Alice Cooper, and that's what makes it so compelling. Well, you have such variety in your music through the years. You know, songs like I Never Cry and You and Me, they're kind of sweet ballads. You know, you contrast those songs with, you know, the heavy metal stuff like School's Out or Poison or even I'm 18. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
A lot of variety in your music.
Well, that was, something that was part of the shock value. You know, I mean, people were so used to calling me the godfather of shock rock and, you know, and that. And, yeah, the stage show was really like a dark vaudeville, you know, and with a sense of humor to it. And it still is. That's what the show is now, except I've probably got the best touring band of anybody out there. You know, the thing about it is like you have to be able to put comedy, horror, and rock and roll in the same bed, and they all work together. You know,
what a great strategy.
But and it really does work, and I think then everybody can go to see the show and they walk away going, I wasn't expecting that. I was not expecting that show to be that much fun. You know, Only Women Bleed. And You and Me, we had four ballad hits in a row. And that was another part of the shock value because people were going, that can't be Alice Cooper. Oh, come on, that can't be Alice Cooper. Well, who wrote that song? Wait a minute, he wrote that song? You know, and it was a different dimension. I wanted to present, okay, I can also be this romantic character, you know. And all those songs were heartbreakers. And they were all hits because they really spoke to the heart. You know, Only Women Bleed was covered by 12 different women as a women's anthem. Tina Turner did it. Etta James did it. I mean, Lita Ford, all these people did that song, and they heard it as a woman's anthem, and that's what it became.
That variety certainly contributes to your legend, and really variety is the spice of life, kind of like your golf game, right? You need a lot of variety. As far as golf shots go. So.
You know, I think it's kind of funny. The thing about golf that people don't realize is that when you do get to a point where you're shooting 75, 74, 76, 75, 74, you kind of look forward to those shots that are off where you have to invent a shot. You know, and nobody did that better than Tiger. Tiger could you know, you could put him, you know, in a garbage can and he would find a way to get up and down, you know.
Right.
But I kind of like it when I hit a shot and it's where you can't hit your normal shot and you have to figure a way to get that ball on the green. Then it becomes really kind of fun to you know, to have that variety in the game.
That's right. The artist in you comes out. Well, you know, I have to commend you and your wife, Cheryl, do tremendous work for teenagers with your Solid Rock Foundation. You've built a teen center in Scottsdale to provide teens, you know, a safe haven and activities to keep them busy. And you know, the golf event that you host, you know, has built basically this teen center.
Yeah, you played that tournament a couple of, you know, many times.
Many years. I love it. Yeah. So, yeah. Great work. You seem to really have this, you know, you appeal to teenagers and you're 72, yet, you know, a lot of your songs spoke to teenagers and I still feel, do you still feel that at your age now you still have that audience, young and old, really?
I think it's if you don't act like a 72 year old man, you know, I mean, I'm not sitting around going, well, in my day, rock and roll was, if your ball gets in my yard one more time, I'm going to, you know, I probably listen to more rock than most teenagers do. And I probably know the younger bands, who they are. Not, I don't just listen to them. I find out who they are, and I actually meet them and do shows with them. So when my daughter used to say, well, there's this new band called, you know, Nirvana, I go, yeah, I know. I know the guys in Nirvana. And she goes, what? I go, well, yeah, we're in the same business, you know.
You're so hip. And I know you just came out with a new song, Don't Give Up. Your songs have important messages, and this one, particularly during the pandemic, is so pertinent. Don't Give Up.
Well, you know, it's sort of, I got tired of being the victim. You know, I think that America was kind of like sold the fact that we're victims. How do we beat this thing? And I thought, let's write a song where Alice literally talks to the virus and tells it that we're the human race. We're not really afraid of you. Yeah, you're dangerous, but we're going to be here a lot longer than you are. And sort of punch the bully in the nose. I think that more people needed to hear that. They needed to hear that it's like Rocky getting up off the canvas and winning the fight, you know. That's what they wanted to hear. Let's be on the offense, not the defense on this thing. And, you know, I mean, that was just a different point of view, but I think people wanted to hear that. It gave them more encouraging.
Sure. Our enemy is a cold, indiscriminate monster. It exists to kill. Do we fear it? Yeah. Do we cower before it? Hell no. We're the blood and guts human race, and we win. Alice, yeah. You are the best. Thank you so much. I'd love to continue talking. I could talk to you forever, but I look forward to teeing it up with you again real soon, I hope.
And we had to cancel our tournament this year, but next year you should be playing in our tournament. You know, it's usually in April, so we'll be in touch with you.
I will be there. I can't wait. I loved playing in it all those years, and I will definitely be back.
Okay, thank you. And
thank you so much.
Good to talk to you again. It's been a long time.
Hit them straight, Alice Cooper. Know that you're loved by a lot of people. Thank you so much.
This year's Travelers Championship is a TV-only event. We'll miss the fans, but you can catch all the action June 25th through the 28th on the Golf Channel and CBS, featuring 8 of the top 10 players in the world, including Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, and 3-time champion Bubba Watson. The tournament has generated nearly $20 million for local charities, and this year's support will include COVID-19 relief efforts. Interested in contributing to tournament charities? Learn more at TravelersChampionship.com.
It's Ann Liguori and Talking Golf on The Fan.
Well, welcome back to Talking Golf. Ann Liguori with you and my guest, Billy Andrade, winner on both the PGA Tour and Champions Tour, and golf buddy of Alice Cooper's, I understand. Good morning, Billy. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Ann. It's a pleasure and honor to be on with you this bright and early Sunday morning.
So you have an Alice Cooper story, I understand?
Yeah, we played in the Bob Hope Classic back in those days, and we were like in the last group on, you know, one of the first couple rounds, and he's talking to a volunteer on the 18th fairway. And we were all waiting for him, like, come on, Alice, you're up. You have to hit. It's getting dark. We're barely getting finished. and he kept talking with this guy, and he was trying to get away from the volunteer, and finally he comes up, and we finished the hole, and I said, what was going on back there with the volunteer? And he said, well, the volunteer was asking me if I could volunteer and sing at the volunteer party, which was in a couple nights. And Alice was trying to explain to this gentleman that, you know, do you understand what the songs that I sing? I sing about death, and I don't think you want me to play the volunteer party in a couple nights. So it was really funny. It was a cute story. The guy was just trying to be nice and try to get all the celebrities that sing to play for the volunteers. And he was trying to get Alice, but didn't understand where Alice's genre and what he and all the songs that he sings.
Exactly.
I don't think it would have gone well over at the volunteer party.
Although he does have some ballads. We've played a couple of them during the show. But anyway, so you're still playing, going strong, but you know there are 11 Champions Tour events left on the calendar after, what, 10 cancellations, right?
Yeah, we've decided to do a wraparound season. So this year we're going to try and play as many tournaments as possible. We just got some bad news last week that the Boeing Classic and the Shaw's Charity Classic have both been canceled this year, which was part of our reboot at the beginning of August when we play the Ally Challenge in Grand Blanc, Michigan. So we're going to do a wraparound season. Our last three playoff events, which normally would be 72 players to 54 players at the second to 36 at the Schwab Cup final, we're going to have full field events. We're going to have 81 players play instead of 78 to give as many guys an opportunity to play this year. So it's really disappointing that we're in this situation, but we all understand that safety comes first. We want everybody to be safe, and we're so sad we can't go to some golf tournaments that were on the schedule, but we do have two that were rescheduled. Our Regions Tradition in Birmingham is rescheduled for the last week of September, and also the Principles Charity Classic in Des Moines, which is a great event on our schedule. That has been postponed. That's been rescheduled for September as well. So, unfortunately, we know where we're at. We have great sponsors on our Champions Tour. Everybody understands the situation, and we're just going to plow through our wraparound season, which means that next year it's just a continuation of this year. So we won't have a Charles Schwab Cup champion this year. It's going to flow into next year, which I think is the right thing to do with so many of our season being canceled.
Are you concerned about traveling right now and the virus? I mean, do you think twice about maybe going to some of these events when they do resume?
I haven't gone anywhere. I mean, we really have hunkered down here in Atlanta, and you know, we haven't been out to dinner. We haven't done a whole lot. I just started playing golf again a few weeks back. So we've really taken this thing seriously here in Atlanta. But yeah, I'm a little concerned right now, but then again, in a couple months, or at the first of August, am I going to be ready to jump on a plane? I don't know. I'm in that wait and see mode and see how it all comes down. But, you know, the PGA Tour starting this week is giving us a good barometer, see how they do, see if there's any issues. You know, they've really created this bubble of a test before you leave your home, a test the minute you get to the course, when you get on property at the tournament, a skeleton TV crew, no spectators. So you're really in that bubble that they've created. And, you know, I hats off to Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour staff for getting golf to start up again and doing it the right way, where safety does come first. But, you know, I feel bad for all our international players that have to come over, and then they really have to stay. They can't really go back home, because if they go back home, they have to quarantine for 14 days and then come back over here. I think our government is giving them a leeway to not have to quarantine coming over, but I just feel bad for those guys that, you know, that their families can't come with them. And hopefully those restrictions will change once the summer hits and maybe things lighten up. But only time will tell.
Yeah, I agree with you. I commend the PGA Tour for everything they're doing, because everybody, let's face it, everybody in sports is watching them, right, at this point. No players or caddies tested positive for the coronavirus, according to PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan. And, you know, they conducted like 487 tests, not only players and caddies, but all the personnel that's on the course. So it's a major production even before they leave to go to these tournaments, right? So far, so good, right? It looks like it's going well. And are you excited to see some golf?
Let's keep our fingers crossed, that's for sure. Yeah, it's been wonderful to watch. It's been wonderful to watch. You know, it's a little different. Seems like a lot of tape shots. You see a guy hits his drive and all of a sudden he's hitting his next shot. It seems faster the way the production has gone the last few days. But it's so great to hear Jim Nance's voice. It's so great to see golf again. It's so great to, you know, every year the Colonial and then this coming week the Hilton Head event. They both, because of the golf courses are not long and, you know, you have to be creative. The leaderboards are always stacked. There's always like, you know, it's always packed and it's always, you know, close bunched. And they sure as heck got a close bunched leaderboard this weekend. And, you know, the way I was looking at the leaderboard before I came on with you, anyone, I think, with at 10 under, which is three back, there's so many players between 13, Shoffley and 10 under. So I think somebody from, you know, out of the pack there, I think 10 under can still win, maybe nine, but, there's so many guys bunched up, and it should be a very exciting final round today.
I mean, what a great leaderboard. Xander Schauffele, he's leading by one at 13 under, but you have JT right in there. You have, Rory, you have Gary Woodland, Brandon Grace.
It's star studded.
Jordan
Spieth.
It's so great to see. So what's the first thing when you don't play? And a lot of these guys came in rusty, no doubt about it. What's the first thing to go when you can't really play regularly, match play, competition?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a great question, Ian. I think the thing that takes more time is your short game and putting, because you can't really simulate. You can practice all you want. You can work on your long game. You can hit balls. Your long game comes back a little quicker. Doesn't take as much time to get your timing back. But I think the feel and being under pressure and having a putt and chip shots around the greens, those are the things that take a little longer, I think, to get back. But, you know, and putting is obviously the biggest key. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you're practicing your putting, you're practicing a routine. But then that routine you have to let that flow once you get on the golf course in tournament golf, which is so much different than going out and playing with your friends. It's not even the same. So, I think that's the biggest thing, just the short game and putting under pressure.
Absolutely. And Jordan even said the other day he missed, what, three or four two-footers, two-foot, three-foot putts, right? And he said when he's out playing with his friends, you don't even make those putts. You just kind of just gimme and go on. But you have to putt. Those are the putts that are so hard to make because you're expected to make them. And even the pros miss those short putts, right?
Absolutely. You got to, you know, those are the ones that make or break you. And, you know, once you miss a couple, then all of a sudden, you know, you get a little jittery on the next one. And now all of a sudden you start thinking too much. And that's not a good thing. You know, when Jordan Spieth and all the great putters, if you think of all the great putters in the world, they all have great routines and it looks pretty flowing. And there's no if, ands, or buts. You look at them and they look so comfortable over it and they're going to make it. And then once you start missing a few, man, I'll tell you what, there's a little delay in there, and you're hoping to make them instead of knowing you're going to make them, and that's a bad feeling to have.
Oh, man, it just wreaks havoc on your psyche, right?
Yeah, yes, sure does.
I mean, Jordan
does.
Spieth, look how, you know, he's supposed to have this great short game, great putter as well, right? And he's out of the top 50 right now. Here's a guy who just you know, won everything when he first started out. So how does somebody like a Jordan Spieth kind of get out of that slump and get into the winner's circle again?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, a great question. He had a run there that all great players have that dominate the game for a couple of years where it seemed like he couldn't miss. And if he missed a green, he always seemed like he was chipping in. You always saw him chip in here and chip in there and chip in to win in Hartford. And then all of a sudden when your game goes a little bit and you start missing a few putts and you start not chipping in and you're not scoring it, biggest thing you do is you keep playing. You're gonna have a long career. And I remember back in the day, Mark O'Meara was going through a slump. And Mark O'Meara, to get out of the slump, he played every week. I admired that so much that instead of going home and kind of, you know, taking 2 months off or 3 months off, Mark O'Meara played 12 weeks in a row to try to get out of this slump he was in. And I think that's when you're in a slump and you're in a scoring drought and you're not playing up to your potential, I think the best thing to do is to keep playing and play out of it instead of going home and sulking and, you know, why me, poor me, you know, I got to go talk to this teacher or that teacher or this psychologist and try to get everything back and then come back out with a reboot. And then what happens if you don't, when you come back and you get worse, which can happen. So I think the biggest thing for Jordan is just keep playing. Keep at it, and keep a good attitude, and good things will happen.
Right. And yet, in some kind of weird way, maybe 3 months off because of the pandemic maybe helped some of these guys, especially the guys with injuries like a Brooks Koepka or who knows when Tiger's going to show up and play. But, you know, sometimes that's a break like that is good too, right?
Absolutely. And it's probably why, you know, Jordan coming back, playing a course like Colonial, which he's very familiar with and he's had great success at. And that's probably a big reason why he's right up there with a chance to win today, is that he took some time off and got away from it. And maybe the pressure was getting to him. I don't know. I've talked to him a few times, but I really don't know him that well, so I can't really say, you know, what's really going on with his game. But, I always say that, you know, you can only, you know, the ball is going to go in the hole for you just so much, and then you're going to have a little lull, and then the putter will come back, and you'll start putting well again. You just go through ebbs and flows of this game, and sometimes you're hot as a firecracker, and you can't miss, and other times you can't find it, and that's what golf is like. You know, the game wins, you don't win. You just try to survive it and try to, you know, grind it out every day and play the best you can. And some days you play great and some days you don't, but the game wins every day. And you just try to compete and play the best you can. And this pandemic, being away from the game, is going to help some players and it's going to hurt some players. Some players are going to come back and be rusty and not play as well. And you know, you look at some of the guys that missed the cut this week, you think, how the heck can they miss a cut? How good they are. But, you know, sometimes they're just not quite on. And you know, you go home on Friday and it's not a great feeling. And they'll come back next week and try again. So it should be I'm just so excited that golf's back and we'll get a chance to watch. And in a few months, the Champions Tour will be back and I'll be back out competing again. I think that's the biggest thing all of us miss is, you know, the camaraderie with your friends but the competition. And that's what drives us to try to keep going is, getting that stupid little white ball or yellow ball in the hole as quickly as you can.
I know, right? Real quick, you're a winner on the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour. What would you say is the biggest difference now on the PGA Tour when you played?
The biggest difference when I played the PGA Tour versus now?
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's just way more better players that come out of college that are just polished and they're just they're ready to win right away at a younger age. So there's more of them from around the world that have come over to the United States and played our tour. When I started back in 1988, was my rookie year. There were no international players that were at Q School. Now there's more international players that are in the top 30 coming to Eastlake for the Tour Championship than there are American players. So there's so many more. The talent pool is just so more amazing today than it was back when I started. So I would think that's probably the biggest difference, and the technology of how different the game is today from when I started. I started with a wooden driver, a blotta ball, and now today, you know, you got, you know, 4 or 5 piece balls that go forever, and it's a different game for sure.
Billy, thank you so much. Really enjoyed our conversation. Billy Andre, winner on both the PGA Tour and Champions Tour. My thanks to Alice Cooper, to Billy, to Pete Hoffman in the studio. Talking Golf with Ann LaGoria was brought to you by Travelers. This year's Travelers Championship is a TV-only event. You can catch all the action June 25th through the 28th on the Golf Channel and CBS. Learn more at TravelersChampionship.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you next Sunday morning right here on Talkin' Golf with Ann LaGoria.